Hello there. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Adya Upal, and I'm the Youth Ambassador for the Indian Cancer Society. I will be your host and guide through a journey where we shatter myths and stigmas about cancer. Let's get started. I'd like to talk about the cancer most commonly found among women, one responsible for nearly 17% of all cancer-related deaths in women, and yet one that hardly finds its way to conversations. Cervical cancer, as the name suggests, is a condition where cancerous cells are found in the cervix. Don't know what the cervix is? You're not the only one. The cervix is a part of female anatomy that connects the vagina to the lower parts of the uterus. In its early stages, cervical cancer may present virtually no symptoms. When symptoms such as bleeding, fatigue, pelvic pain, and weight loss finally begin to show, they indicate that the disease has progressed within the patient's body. Hence, without regular screening, countless women allow their condition to go undetected, sometimes beyond the point of treatment. Now that you know what it is, you're probably thinking, when should I start worrying? The answer is, not before 25. Yes, cervical cancer usually develops in women over 30. However, as I said before, it is always better to get screened early on, simply because early detection, through timely testing and subsequent treatment, have been found to significantly reduce the mortality rates for cervical cancer. So what even is a screen test? What does it entail? How do you ask for one? The most common, reliable, and accurate screening test available in India is called the HPV test. Although it takes about 3 weeks for conclusive results to arrive, once cleared, you need not get tested for the next 5 years, unless specifically advised by your doctor. While initiatives like Tamil Nadu's statewide rural screening or the WHO's declaration of January as Cervical Cancer Awareness Month are taking steps to make the cervical discussion more mainstream, it is also our responsibility to be more informed, whether as women or as people who cannot imagine their lives without them. I will now help you understand the true scale of this disease, and also arm you with precise information about preventive measures that you can take. Going solely by the numbers, India accounts for the highest number of cervical cancer cases in all of Asia, with a staggering 1,26,866 new cases diagnosed in 2020 alone. Every year, over 77,000 women lose their lives to cervical cancer. In terms of deadliness, it is the second most fatal disease in women aged 15 to 44, surpassed only by cardiovascular disease. The leading cause of cervical cancer is the human papillomavirus, or HPV. This virus is known to pass from one person to another through direct skin-to-skin contact during sexual activity. Even asymptomatic people can transfer this virus to others, making HPV a silent but deadly killer. Fear not, the Pap test, Pap smear, cervical smear, or quite simply, a cervical screening, is ultra effective in detecting the virus. For this test, a spatula or brush is used to gently scrape cells from the cervix. If done correctly, the test is not painful, but might cause discomfort. However, much like in a COVID test, slight temporary discomfort is far better than letting a life-threatening disease go undiagnosed and untreated. And much like for the coronavirus, there exists a vaccination against HPV that thwarts its growth in the body, preventing cervical malignancies. In both boys and girls, this vaccine guards against infection brought on by the human papillomavirus by stimulating the production of antibodies, which prevent the virus from infecting cells. It can be administered in children as young as 9 in 2 doses given at least 6 months apart. Beyond HPV strains, it also forms a protective line of defense against vaginal and vulval cancer, genital warts, and cancers in the mouth, throat, head, and neck. Dr. Neeja Bhatla, a leading gynecologist at AIIMS, notes how if the vaccine is given to girls before sexual exposure, between 9 to 14 years, it is more than 99% effective in preventing cervical cancer. In short, it is not simply the virus that poses a threat to life, but our ignorance around it. This is heightened, of course, by the socioeconomic inequalities which prevent large chunks of the population from accessing a readily available and easily administered vaccine. However, there is good news on that front. Locally developed by the Serum Institute of India, Cervavac is a homegrown, cost-effective HPV vaccine for the Indian population. So visit your gynecologist to inquire about the HPV vaccine now. Even better, rally up the people in your community to do the same. I'd now like to debunk some myths and misconceptions surrounding cervical cancer. As George Bernard Shaw says, beware of false knowledge, it is more dangerous than ignorance. So let's get started. The biggest misconception is only women can get cervical cancer. Let's clear this. Anyone with a cervix can get cervical cancer. This includes women, trans men, non-binary people, and intersex people with a cervix. A second myth is that cervical cancer only affects older women. Although cervical cancer is more common in older women, it can affect women of all ages, including teenagers and women in their 20s. Yet another myth is that only women who have had multiple sexual partners can get cervical cancer. While having multiple sexual partners can increase the risk of cervical cancer, it is not the only factor. Other risk factors include having a weakened immune system and a family history of cervical cancer. Another myth is that cervical cancer is always accompanied by symptoms. In fact, in the early stages of cervical cancer, there are often no noticeable symptoms. That's why it's important for women to undergo regular cervical cancer screenings to detect cancer in its early stages when it is most treatable. Another myth is that if a woman has had a hysterectomy, which is a removal of the uterus, she cannot get cancer. Just like we discussed earlier, the cervix is a part of female anatomy that connects the vagina to the lower parts of the uterus. So even after a hysterectomy, the female may still be at risk for cervical cancer if her cervix was not removed. In addition, many believe that cervical cancer is always fatal. However, the truth is that with early detection and treatment, cervical cancer can often be cured. However, if left untreated, cervical cancer can spread to other parts of the body and become more difficult to treat. Another myth is that women should get a Pap test every year. In fact, most women don't need a Pap test every year. If your Pap test result is normal, it is recommended that you wait 3 years for your next Pap test. Now, I will guide you through a more grim yet more crucial topic. What should one do if diagnosed with cervical cancer? Beyond the diagnosis, treatment, and aftermath of the disease, it is important for individuals to prepare for the emotional and social upheaval it can bring into a person's life. Here are 7 tips that might make your cancer journey less exacting. First and foremost, educate yourself. Do your research. Speak to experts. Explore and understand cervical cancer as well as you can, and familiarize yourself with the available treatment options. Not only does research help one gain a sense of control, but also helps make better decisions. In addition, don't self-isolate. Fight off all guilt around your disease being a burden on others. Seek support, reach out to family, friends, and healthcare professionals for the emotional support you require. If that does not suffice, consider joining a support group to talk through your feelings. 3. Build a relationship of trust and honesty with your healthcare team. Address all queries and concerns with your oncologists, nurses, and other experts. You are entitled to accurate information, timely explanation, and support from this team. Moreover, don't pause your life. Intensive cancer treatments often lead individuals to restructure their entire life around their disease, a phenomenon which ultimately hinders recovery. Continue to practice self-care, exercise, meditate, eat healthy, practice your hobbies. In addition, embrace your community of patients and survivors. It can become difficult to communicate yourself to people who don't share your experience. By forging relationships with people who have been through your journey, you can create the bonds of empathy that you crave, learn more about the disease, and remain optimistic. Finally, in tandem with the previous point, maintain a positive outlook. By focusing on the things that bring you joy and happiness, you can prevent fatalistic thinking and fight off other negative emotions that cervical cancer may trigger. Now let's take a deeper dive into the possible treatment options available to someone with cervical cancer. The treatment options for cervical cancer depend on several individual factors, such as the stage to which the cancer has progressed, the patient's overall health, and their personal preferences. With all these factors accounted for, the most common treatment options are threefold: surgery, radiation therapy, and chemotherapy. However, it is best to consult your local health practitioner for advice. Surgery involves removing the affected area, which could be the cervix or the uterus. Radiation therapy uses high energy rays to kill cancer cells, while in chemotherapy, drugs are used to do the same. In addition to these standard treatments, there are also emerging cutting-edge treatments like immunotherapy, wherein the body's own immune system is channeled to unleash a targeted attack against the genes or proteins in cancerous cells that make them proliferate in the body. However, and I cannot stress this enough, the success of any treatment depends on early detection. Therefore, make sure to get regularly screened for cervical cancer, especially if you are sexually active. Pap tests and HPV tests should be an indispensable part of your general health checkups. In India, there are various government and private healthcare facilities that offer cervical cancer screening and treatment. Now, let's understand why we need to advocate for better access to screening and treatment in rural and underserved areas. Cancer doesn't discriminate. Across cross sections of class, region, ethnicity, it can manifest in anyone. However, given the capital-intensive nature of cancer prevention, diagnosis, and treatment, it is those affected from rural and underserved areas who bear a heavier burden. Not only are rural areas deprived of advanced healthcare facilities, but are also located away from major metropolitan centers, making it doubly difficult for daily wage workers or agriculturalists to disrupt their routine for cancer treatment. One of the major barriers is the lack of awareness about cancer and its symptoms, which is even more stark in such areas. People often don't know or refuse to notice the early warning signs of cancer and subsequently do not seek help until the disease has become deadly. In addition, the cost of cancer treatment is often prohibitive for people living in these areas. Even if they are aware of their condition, they might not be able to afford the treatment. According to a study published in the Journal of Global Oncology, the cost of cervical cancer treatment in India averages out to be ₹2 lakhs to 5 lakhs. This makes the treatment impossible for many women, especially those from low-income households. Another significant challenge is the lack of trained healthcare professionals and facilities in underdeveloped areas. Often, a shortage of trained doctors and nurses make it difficult for people living in these areas to receive timely and adequate care. Advocacy for better access to screening and treatment in rural and underserved areas is crucial in the fight against cancer. The Government of India has initiated various schemes and programs to provide affordable cancer care, including cervical cancer treatment. For instance, the National Health Mission provides free cancer treatment to patients below the poverty line. But how can we, as individuals, advocate for better access to screening and treatment in these areas? For one, we can spread awareness about cancer and its symptoms and encourage people to seek help early. We can also support organizations that are working towards creating more cancer care facilities in these areas. Together, we can help eradicate cervical cancer and ensure the health and safety of multiple women.